Now, I must admit this evening that I have bitten off more than I can chew with this one. Okay, so if you do have a notepad or a pen, or you can make notes on your phone, I'm probably going to be giving you a bit more information than I can realistically expect you to take in, right? So bear with me, and we'll get through this. So Galatians chapter 5, we're carrying on with the series in the fruit of the Spirit. And we have there in verse 22 of chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now allow me to repeat myself, as we have been doing, haven't we? Every single time that we've gone through this little series together, we emphasize right at the beginning, from the get-go, that the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit not of our spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of Jesus' Spirit. He is the one who bears the fruit in us. It is not for us to work up and pull out of ourselves. It is for us to receive, for the Lord Jesus to bear within us. The overarching picture that we seek to keep in our mind, that we can't help but lose track of, that picture we want to keep in our mind is of God our Father in heaven in all eternity, pouring his Holy Spirit without measure, constantly and forever, into his eternal Son. His Son then filled up with the Holy Spirit beyond measure, brimming and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, bears the fruit of the Spirit beyond measure. In redemption, sinners like you and me are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, inhabited by that same Spirit of his, and therefore it's the Spirit of Jesus that bears the fruit of the Spirit in us Christians. And that is what Paul is calling the Galatians to throughout this letter, to live out the reality of the indwelling Spirit. Now, we've already seen, haven't we, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, as they are expressed in the life of Jesus, the man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we sought to emphasize, haven't we, him as the source of our own fruitfulness, looking to him constantly for our fruitfulness. And tonight we come to faith or faithfulness. Now, which do you see in your translations, faith or faithfulness? Now, we can't speak with these masks on, or at least the rest of you can't, but we can do a show of hands. As far as I'm aware, that doesn't spread COVID, okay? So show of hands, who sees faithfulness? I think it's probably most of you, okay? And does anyone see faith instead? All right, there's a couple of KJV users in the room. Which is it? Is it faith or faithfulness? The word that is used here by Paul, it could be faith, meaning an act or an attitude of believing or trusting in God that is sort of synonymous with saving faith. Or it could be faithfulness, that quality of being trustworthy or reliable. Which do you think it is? To help you think about this, let me tell you some things about verse 22, okay? The word here for faith, It just means faith, and that's how it's translated and used all the way through Galatians and all the way through Paul's letters, saving faith. That's how the word is translated over or nearly 150 times across the New Testament, and especially in Galatians, where faith plays such a big role. On the other hand, the word is surrounded by all these ethical virtues that make faith, that makes faithfulness look a bit more suitable. Then it's only translated as faithfulness twice in the New Testament. So you can see the difficulty we have. What do you think? Is it faith or faithfulness? Well, it could go either way. And while most seem to prefer faithfulness, to me, I think I prefer the former, but certainly there is no problem going either way, or even going both ways. As Anselm once said, faith is loyal adherence, like that sort of reliability, trustworthiness, loyal adherence to the promises. That's saving faith. So he sees it as both. So we're going to very, 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 very briefly look at faithfulness in the life of Jesus Christ before hopefully spending the majority of the time on the faith of Jesus Christ. Firstly, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus. It's no small topic, is it, in the New Testament, in the scriptures as a whole? Hebrews 3, that is the one, that's the go-to for the faithfulness of Christ, isn't it? It makes a big deal out of his faithfulness in service to God and service to us as a mediator. All the way through Hebrews 3 and the Psalms as well, the scriptures emphasize his faithful obedience to God on our behalf. His faithful obedience even unto death, even death on the cross. He was obedient to the very end. And even now, while we're in this room, the Lord Jesus is in glory praying for us in our prayer meeting. And he's faithful in that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By our union to him, that faithful Savior, faithfulness then becomes a characteristic of Christians. We are called to be faithful in a way that the world cannot be. Faithful like God is faithful. Faithful in our marriages. Trustworthy in our work. Diligent in church. Loyal to our friends. Obedience unto death. Prayer for one another without ceasing. That's the sort of faithfulness then that we are called to, the faithfulness that the Lord Jesus has. But let's turn now and look at the faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, faith in the life of Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, Christ was always anticipated to be a great man of faith. It's all over the scriptures. Let me take you, please, to Isaiah and chapter 11. We'll stop there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 11 anticipates the coming of the Lord Jesus. And what does it say about him in verse 2? Isaiah 11 and verse 2 says that the Messiah, Christ, our Lord Jesus, will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Then what does it say the result of that will be in verse 5? The Spirit of the Lord fills up the Lord Jesus in verse 2, and verse 5, as a consequence of the filling of the Holy Spirit, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. He's going to be a great man of faith. Hosea 11 calls Christ the Holy One who is full of faith. At various points throughout the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, and many of you will know lots of these off by heart, the Lord Jesus speaks to his own faith and faithfulness in the Psalms. Psalm 18 is the words of the Lord Jesus as well as the original psalmist. And in Psalm 18, the Lord Jesus says, I will put my trust in the Lord. You see the same in Psalm 71 and Psalm 16, Psalm 22, like we just read, constantly declaring his faith in our Father. And so all the way through, the church was to anticipate the Lord Jesus Christ as coming to be the man of faith. Just as we were looking forward to one who would come to be the prophet, who would speak to us on God's behalf and tell us about him. We were looking forward to finding the priest who will offer a sacrifice to cover sins, the king who will actually rule with justice and peace forever and forever. He will be the man of faith for us to follow in faith of our God. So that's the anticipation, and the scriptures do not disappoint us, do they? When Jesus came, he really was that man of faith we were looking for, even from his youth. Did you hear it in Psalm 22 and verse 9, talking about the Lord Jesus coming? You had me to trust in you while I was still on my mother's breast. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, one of these wonderfully mysterious verses. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, talking about the child, Lord Jesus, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men." What could that mean? How would you explain that verse? That Jesus grows in favor with God. How can our Father be more pleased with Jesus on Wednesday than he was on Tuesday? This verse describes, among other things, our Lord Jesus' growing obedience, his exercise of faith in our Father. That's not to say that he was ever deficient in either of those things, not at all. He was always full of faith, full of obedience, but every day all the more so. Now that can be a little bit hard to understand, so let me give you an illustration. Imagine you've got a 1 liter bottle of water and a 2 liter bottle of water. Both are full, but one has more. It's a bit like that. Or think about if you're married or if you've got loved ones in your family, or you can think about your family and you say, you love them today and you'll love them in 10 years. But we all know you'll love them more in 10 years. That's not to say there's any deficiency in our love now, but our love grows. It becomes more and more full. And so it is with the Lord Jesus, as he exercised his faith in our Father through more and more experiences as he grew. The first time that he ever earned his own money and gave some of it to his Father as a tithe, that pleased God, that he was a cheerful giver, giving in faith. The first time he received a commission as a carpenter, and he had to go with faith to his Father and pray about the concern he had about doing a good job to the glory of God. The first time he was tempted, perhaps he saw a beautiful woman walking down the street, and the first time he was tempted by that, and he resisted that temptation by faith. He grew in trust of God in dire financial situations when he had to start supporting his mother. Even when he lost his Father on earth, he called his Father in heaven good and right and just and worthy of all worship. Just as we do, Jesus grows in faith, the fruit of the Spirit. I think this is what Paul is getting at in Galatians 5 and in Romans 1 when he talks about the just shall live by faith, therefore we go from faith to faith. It gets deeper. What's new in your life at the moment? You might say nothing's changed since last March, and that would be understandable. But just like all of our new life experiences, we grow in faith. We please our Father more and more as we exercise faith going into new areas of our lives, whether that's new children or widowhood, whether that's the first time I've been a student, the first time I've been unemployed, the first time I've been employed. In all of these new areas of life, we exercise the fruit of the Spirit, faith. Ever-growing faith. Now, this is who Jesus is, the great man of faith. And he never drew back, as it says in Hebrews 10. He always kept faith. He never drew back, always pushing more and more and more into faith, faith to faith, constantly pushing the boundaries of his faith into more and more devotion, more and more obedience, more and more faith and trust in our Father. And so that's what we see Jesus' life is like, looking for the fruit of the Spirit, faith. We see it in his life, full of faith. In how he responded to providence, in how he trusted the word of God, in how he exercised miracles and so forth. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where the writer calls us to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, the word author there can be translated author, but it can also be translated pioneer. Jesus is the pioneer of our faith, the trailblazer, the principal man, the first and foremost man into the territory of faith in our Father. He shows us by an example as we're looking to him, following him through our life, by watching him, learning from his example, we learn from him what is the fruit of the Spirit, faith. Now, look at Hebrews 12:2 again and think about this question. Where is the faith of the Lord Jesus most clearly exemplified or shown or displayed? He is the pioneer of faith, but not foremost in his incarnation when he first took on faithful flesh. But the faith of the Lord Jesus is most clearly exemplified in endurance of suffering and trial. His faith kept him to and through the crucifixion. This is so vivid, isn't it? In the upper room discourse and in the high priestly prayer in those hours leading up to his death, where we read time and time and time again, faithful affirmations of what will happen to him. In the face of certain death, he knew he was going to die. And yet he was so assured of our Father's will and promises that he made to him. Although it seemed impossible, Jesus believed that he would rise again. Although it seemed ridiculous, and all he had to assure himself really was this book that he had, although it seemed ridiculous, he knew that he would defeat death through death. Although it sounds ludicrous, he trusted that by taking all of the sin of all of his people onto his shoulders, he would carry it away. That is the fruit of the Spirit, faith, in the life of God's children, hoping in things not seen. Now turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 50. I have to hurry up a little bit here. Isaiah chapter 50. Where the life of faith of our Lord Jesus is so beautifully put, especially in adversity. Isaiah chapter 50, where we read there in verse 4 about how the Lord Jesus travels the preaching circuits of Galilee, opening the word of God. He says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." Alone, our Lord Jesus studies and prays in private devotion to our Father, verse 5. "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." And then in Pilate's garrison, he gives his back to their scourge and his face to their fists. He says, "I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." And then this man in his 30s, who had trusted his Father, our Father, all his life long in every circumstance and only ever pleased him, was dragging his cross through the streets of Jerusalem, naked, beaten, mocked, abandoned, absolutely battered, if ever there was one, a dead man walking. And he knew he was heading to a point where he would be forsaken by his own Father. And there, in that bloodied, awful street, surrounded by people throwing all sorts of blasphemy against him, he says in that moment, "The Lord God will help me," verse 7. "Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me.
Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me.
That is the supernatural faith that the Holy Spirit gives to the children of God. If we're looking for the fruit of the Spirit, faith, look no further. You know, it was even in the grave, in the very tomb in which he was buried, that the Lord Jesus prayed, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. You will not leave my soul in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now, having read Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, would you like to stir up your own faith from yourself? Or would you like to bear his fruit? Would you like to bear his fruit? That faith. I want his faith, not my own, I want his. All Christians have the Holy Spirit living inside them. That's a fact. All Christians bear all of the fruit of the Spirit to varying degrees. How does the fruit of faith feature in your life? In Jesus' life, it meant that he could believe the unbelievable. He knew that his death would be followed by resurrection. His humiliation would be followed by exaltation. Can you believe? Do you have faith in the unbelievable? Can you believe that you, dust of the earth, have been adopted into the family of God? Romans 8 says that the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are born of God. Do you have faith that following your death, you will be resurrected? Do you have faith that the gospel that we preach from this little church in the middle of nowhere corner of the world will go to the ends of the earth and save any and all who will call upon the Lord Jesus for eternal life? You know, Barnabas, when he first saw Gentiles coming to the faith, it was unbelievable. And yet Acts 11 says that he believed because he was a man of faith, a man of faith. We all want this faith, don't we? The faith that comes as a fruit of the Spirit. Now the scripture says that you already have it if you are a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you already have this fruit. And it's also called a gift in 1 Corinthians 12, a gift of the Spirit as well. But what we need to do now is to look to Jesus Christ for that faith in order to grow from faith to faith as we exercise that faith. That's how it works. We determine to trust him whatever the circumstances may be. Now, I don't know what you're going through in life at the moment, but whatever trial it may be, whatever temptation it may be, whatever dark providence it may be, and sometimes they are terribly dark, all our lives long, we are called to exercise faith in our Father. And it's in so doing that we bear the fruit of the Spirit which our Lord Jesus bore in his own life, and we look more and more and more like him. It is true that we receive and bear the fruit of the Spirit, faith, only because it was first born in him. Now let me close with just a couple of really practical applications, if I can. And these really are just on the surface things for you to think about. How can we exercise this faith? How can we stir ourselves up to exercise this faith like the Lord Jesus did? How can I look to him? What does that look like practically? I've just got a couple of things here. The first one is to ask the Father for it. It might sound oversimplistic, but in a few moments we'll have an opportunity to do just that. In prayer, ask the Father for faith. Ask him for the faith of the Lord Jesus to be born in your own life. That's what we can do. The second is to pray the promises. You've heard that a lot. It's such an important one. We find a promise in the Bible. You can go to the bookshop and literally buy books that are just a collection of promises from the Bible. I like to use those sometimes. You just pick a promise, you pray it, and you exercise faith in that promise. You take it to the Father, you say, Father, you have said, if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me my sins. And so that's what I'm doing. And you pray that in faith, and he will love to have that prayer. Thirdly, stand on the word of God. Obviously very similar to the one we just mentioned. You just say, in whatever situation you're in, you stand on, God is good. You just stand on those three words. You say, whatever is going on, God remains good. I'm going through this trial, I've got this thorn in the flesh and it's killing me. And you just stand on those words, my grace is sufficient for you. And you just exercise faith in those things. And lastly, I've got here to act in faith. Act in faith. The Christian life is practical. It should be seen. As we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus, we should be able to see it in ours as well. So act in faith. We take that word that we're standing on, and it motivates us. It drives us to action. So we read, he will meet all of your needs in Christ Jesus. Well, that means I can be a liberal giver. We read, when you are weak, then you are strong. Well, that means I can serve God in whatever situation I'm in. I don't need to wait until I'm more holy or more gifted or whatever. This is a really practical one, one that I was so thrilled to see in the life of one of our brothers and sisters here in the church, where the Word of God says, the Spirit will help you to pray. And so I asked somebody in the church, do you mind praying for us on Wednesday? And they were nervous. They were hesitant. But they said, the Spirit will help me to pray. So yes. And they acted in faith. That's the faith of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. So let's leave it there. I've gone on a bit. I do apologize. But may we be encouraged by these things, considering the life of the Lord Jesus as our great man of faith, looking to him to have his faith. Let me just read these words to you from Romans 15, and then we'll pray together before I hand back over to the next song. Romans 15 says this, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to us and his example, that we find in him no superman, but a real man, flesh and blood as we are, with a real humanity. And Lord, when we look at him, we see the most amazing faith. We see the Holy Spirit who bore such wonderful, powerful faith in him. Lord, we thank you that we are given to him and in his hands, and that we get to witness his faith and hang on his faith and are justified, Lord, by faith in him. We ask you, as we have just been talking about now, Father, that you'd hear our prayers as we ask you for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in our lives by the same Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together now. I can't remember what one it is. Number 189, I think. Yeah, Thou Son of God and Son of Man.